through 19.
You are a
from me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you.
Thank you. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is from Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistles from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. There he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.' O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
Response read page 222.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away.
He was delivered unto death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered.
In the name the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The parable before us today is without a doubt the most beloved parable of our Lord Jesus that's called the Prodigal Son. But you know, there's a better name for it. It should be called the Two Sons and the Father. Because here we see the story of two different sons and a call to repent of sins, to confess, to be forgiven, and to be restored. One understood this, and the other did not. The context here is Jesus is in a community dinner, receiving and eating with ordinary people, sinners who drew near to hear Jesus. Jesus came for sinners. It is good news that he eats with sinners, which means he eats with us. So today, we were dead and are alive again. We were lost and now are found. We had left God's house and home, but the Father has found us and brought us to life again in Christ Jesus. We are again welcome at his table. Let us see the extravagant mercy of our Father in the person of Christ, and let's consider how we are often like the younger son. We are often also like the older son, but Jesus is like the compassionate Father. People are gathered around the table, but what happens is the Pharisees grumble. He eats with sinners and dines with. We are like the younger son, the prodigal, like those who are lost, tax collectors and sinners. A tax collector in Jesus' day was a cheater and a fraud. This is what they would do. The Romans would say, you as a Jewish man are to get one denarius from everyone in the town. You can charge as much as you want as long as we get our one denarius. So the Jewish tax collectors would charge them five, keep four for themselves, and give the rest to the Romans. They were Jews who were hated by their fellow Jews, but often they were the wealthiest person in the village because of that. They were looked at low, low sinners. And the term sinners is being used by the Pharisees for lowlifes, immoral, worldly people who aren't religious, and from the Pharisees' perspective, why in the world would Jesus eat with those who are considered cheats, frauds, and lowlifes? This is the picture of the younger son. Jesus wants to explain to the Pharisees, you see these people that I'm eating with and dining with? Let me tell you the parable about the younger son. And so we begin. The younger son had made a complete mess of his life. First of all, he demands the inheritance, which would be one third of his father's inheritance. And this in of itself is an insult. When you receive the inheritance from your family, it's after they die. He's basically saying, Dad, you're not dying soon enough. I wish you were dead, so I want my inheritance now. So that's an insult in itself. But the father gives him one third of the inheritance. Plenty to live on. So the younger son foolishly gathers everything and journeys to a far country, to the Gentile country. He squanders everything through reckless living. He spends it all. And when there's a severe famine and he's in need and he has nothing to eat, he has to do something unimaginable to a Jewish person. Pigs were considered unclean animals. He now has to feed pigs, the pods from the ground, and no one gives him anything else to eat. People say, boy, that guy's life, he's completely living in the gutter. Well, this guy was living in the gutter. He was about as low as you could get. One person said, this person is not at the bottom of the bucket. He's underneath the bucket, looking up at the bottom of the bucket. That's how low he has fallen. But he comes to his senses. What have I done? I'm perishing in the Gentile lands with nothing. I'm feeding pigs. So he arises and goes back to his father, and he rehearses what he's about to say. Father, he's reaffirming their relationship. I have sinned, confessing his sin, against heaven, which is God, and you, admitting it. I am no longer worthy. This is true contrition and sorrow to be called your son. What he said was right. He wasn't worthy anymore to be called a son. Make me one of your hired servants. This was true and utter humility. He rehearsed ahead of time as we come here each and every Sunday, prepared to confess our sins and say, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess all of my sins in thought, word, and deed. We are like the younger son. So often in our lives, we have made a mess of our lives. We pray for family and friends, sons, daughters, grandchildren, maybe parents, people that we know who've completely gone away from the Lord and made a mess of their life. We are all like the younger son. We must come in confession and say, Father, I have sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. In the confession of the divine service, we are all admitting we are like the younger son. We too say, Lord, I have sinned. Be merciful to me. At times we are like that younger son and have made a mess of our lives. But at other times, we are like the older son, which are the angry Jewish Pharisees, the teachers. And so Jesus continues. The Jewish Pharisees and teachers were angry and grumbled when they saw who Jesus was eating with. They were arrogant because they thought themselves as religious. They're superior. They're the good people, the religious people. They looked down their noses at these low lives. They didn't actually think they were sinners. The Pharisees and the teachers thought they were righteous in themselves because they supposedly kept all the laws. This is pictured for us in the older son. Jesus is now going to explain to these people in their arrogance, you are being like the older son. So when the younger son comes to his senses and comes to his father, the older son, who was out in the field and draws near to the house and hears the music and the dancing and celebrating, has no idea, what is this all about? And so he has to ask the servants who say, your brother, your father's son, has come back. Everyone is rejoicing. Your brother has returned. They have a fattened calf for him. Safe, he has returned. He was angry. He would not go in. He refused. He also insults his father. He should have gone into the banquet, but he makes his father come out to him. In the midst of this party, this father has to come out and speak to his hard-headed son outside. He says, come in. Your brother has returned. But this prideful man has no desire. This son of yours, meaning he's not my brother, devoured all your property with prostitutes. You give him a fattened calf. I've served you all these years. You haven't even given me a young goat. This is a hard heart, filled with hatred, envy, and evil. He will not come in. Sometimes we are like the older son, hard-hearted, jealous, envious, arrogant, judgmental, cruel, and thoughtless towards others. And what's interesting about how Jesus teaches this parable, he does not give us the answer as to whether the older son ever came in. That's left hanging at the end of this parable. Did the older son repent and come in or not? We don't know. So Jesus is calling people who are hard-headed, will you repent or not? At times, just like we've been like the younger son, we've been like the older son. Looked down at others, thought that we were better than others, and treated them with cruelty. Just like that younger son repented, hard-heartedness is a call. God's call is for us to repent of such hard-heartedness. And our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to repent as the younger son did, and not be like the older son. But then Jesus describes himself as the compassionate father. This is some of the most extravagant gospel in the entire New Testament. Jesus is showing why he eats and receives sinners and lets them draw near to him. Jesus is like this compassionate father. A word about the father. This man is a wealthy man who has an estate. Servants everywhere who wait on him. The one thing a person with an estate like this did was they never, ever ran. Everybody ran to him. He clicked his fingers, I want my food, I want my drink. He was the regal presence that everyone ran to. So the compassionate father's heart is so overwhelmed, he does something nobody in the village would have ever, ever seen. They see the owner of this estate running down the street. What is going on? And this is what's going on. The father sees the younger son coming a long way off. He has so much compassion for his son, he runs to his son before the son even gets back home. He runs, he embraces him, and he kisses him. He is restoring him to sonship. He hears his son's confession. At least the first part of it. Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But he doesn't even let him finish the rest. Make me as a hired servant. He says, no, servants, get him the best robe. Put my ring on his hand. Get shoes for his feet. Go, kill the fattened calf. Let us eat and let's celebrate. My son was dead and is alive. My son was lost and is found. Rejoicing of the Father is a picture of our Heavenly Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, who accepts us back into His family. He tells His older son, all I have is yours. In the first century, the older son got 2/3 of the inheritance. The older son was going to get plenty of his inheritance. That wasn't the issue. He was telling him, it's fitting for us to be glad, for your brother is dead and is alive, was lost and is found. He is your brother, he's telling him. This is a picture, especially during Lent, of what God the Father has done for us in Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he gives us the message of reconciliation, that God no longer counts our trespasses against us. This is what that means. The world was at war with God, but through Christ, we are reconciled, we are at peace with God through the blood of our Jesus, through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're reconciled, forgiven, welcomed back into sonship in His house because of the great exchange that took place. He made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus took the tattered rags of our sin upon Himself and He gives us the royal robe of His righteousness. This is called the Great Exchange. The Father's compassion is shown to us in the person of Christ. And this is what Lent is all about. Because Jesus would run down that road, come into the city on Palm Sunday to the Hosannas. On Maundy, Thursday, give us Holy Communion. On Friday, be scourged and crowned with thorns, crucified. And then on Easter Sunday, raised from the dead. By running down that road into Jerusalem, He became for us reconciliation with God the Father and gives us His righteousness as a gift. That is the compassion of the Father pictured in the life of Christ, especially during Holy Week. So my friends, sometimes we're like the younger son, sometimes we're like the older son, but our Father is still our Father. In holy baptism, He has clothed you with the festival robe of His righteousness. He gives us the ring and the sandals of Christ's righteousness. And we have a celebration, dance, and music making every time we gather in the divine service and sing hymns and songs to our Lord. His compassionate embrace, His kiss of peace comes to us in His word and sacraments. He says, welcome home every time we come to the Lord's table. Come back to the feast. Welcome home. As we're about to sing the great Te Deum Laudamus, the great hymn of the church, the creed of everything what Christ has done for us, we believe that He will come, we're about to sing, to welcome us into that eternal banquet of all peoples, of all nations, of all languages and saints before the throne. We were dead and we are alive again. We were lost and now are found. The Father welcomes us back to His house and His home. We are always welcome at His table here on earth, as He soon will welcome us to the eternal kingdom, the table in heaven that knows no end. Rejoice that Jesus is indeed that compassionate Father for you and me. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us continue on page 223 with the Te Deum Laudamus. We stand to sing.
Our Father,
offering, sign the ritual of friendship, and place the sheet in the basket as you leave. You may be seated as we gather the offerings. Continue page 227 and stand to sing the Kyrie. Bring rain and be with those suffering from the wildfires as you guide them. firefighters, and all those who serve. Grant, O Lord, your sustenance for all of us in the civil realm. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Everlasting Father, we pray and thank you that you preserve creation and provide for us in our daily needs as you're ushering in the new creation. Be with us as we live out our vocations and callings here on earth. Bless Kennedy Oliger, Lois Bollinger, Pastor Rob Schrader, Vicki Detter, Matt Schweiger, and Andrew German as they celebrate their baptism and birthday. Bless Diana Ritter Coco and her husband James Coco as they celebrate their anniversary. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, hear our prayers as we cry out for your mercy, for healing, help, and deliverance for Pastor Myron and Dorothy Maltz, Rachel Fan and her unborn baby, Fern Stein and Michael Knox, Stephen Ament and Mike Wente, Steve Butte and Ember Ward, Candy Darmody, Betty Tinney, and Alan Smith. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in his resurrection and ascension to the right hand of God, where he stands as our high priest. We thank you that you've reconciled us to you, so that we can proclaim as ambassadors the reconciliation found in Christ alone. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Praise be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.